Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Welcome to another round of the Best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson here with you. For those that may not be familiar, the SDHAM program is Monday mornings through Friday mornings, 9.05 a.m. Eastern Time until 11.05-ish. And traditionally, it's longer than 11.05-ish. And we take that first 2 hours of your morning every Monday through Friday and kind of usher you into the day of the week, what you might have missed in the overnight from overseas, the storylines that have made their way into the headlines of the morning, and getting you ready for analysis for activities of the day and the stuff that happened the night before. And when that happens every Monday through Friday, once again on the SDH Network, and we ask that you like, friend, and be a part of the conversation, you can join us on the SDH Network X feed, the 280-character app. You can join us also on Twitch. You can also join us on our YouTube channel live and like, friend, and be a part of the conversation on all of our social media at Soccer Down Here. This week's show is a look at what's happening in Major League Soccer as we head toward match day twos in the first round of the playoffs past the wild card round, the opening round of eights in the quarterfinals. And we get to kind of take the tour and visit with a couple of different folks that have vested interests one way or the other in the matchups themselves. First and foremost, we'll catch up with Tony Husband from Apple TV Plus and the coverage of Major League Soccer. Tony and his partner, Ross Smith, they get to hang out in match day two at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx as NYCFC hosts Charlotte FC and a chance to close out that series after only two matches. After Tony, and we take a look at each of the matchups and also the matchup that he and Ross called in match day one involving Vancouver and FC Dallas, and his thoughts, very high thoughts, on the Whitecaps themselves. We go into the Chicago and Philadelphia series, and for that we catch up with the play-by-play voice of the Chicago Fire, Max Anderson from WLS Radio, and find out his thoughts about match day one, one of the seminal moments in match day one itself, and then the preparations for match day two. And then after that, friend of the network, Chris Doran, the play-by-play voice of the Columbus Crew. We find out what's on Chris's mind for Hell is Real, the postseason edition. So it's playoffs, playoffs, and more playoffs for Major League Soccer here on the Best of SDHAM. Without further ado, let's take a peek at what's going on in the world of Tony Husband from Apple TV as he gets ready for match day two, where he and Ross Smith get to call NYCFC, hosting Charlotte FC. Here's our catching up with Tony Husband.
And so that means one thing. It is hour number two. And I'm gonna start hour number two off with the return appearance of Tony Husband with a question that has to do with his documentarianness. I just created a word, documentarianness. And we bring Tony in here to start hour number two. And Tony, I got in the mail a couple days ago a notification for my my AGM for the Pompey Supporters Trust.
Excellent.
And it is apparently the PST AGM and Q&A event. And I think they need more initials in that. But Monday, November the 10th and the 17th. The 17th, by the way, is my trust AGM. And when we had, and this is where I pull back the curtain a little bit about your documentarianness. You got to do a good documentary on how chaotic it was with Pompey when everything went and circled the toilet. It was, I'm sure it was a great piecing that jigsaw puzzle together, huh?
Yes. I mean, my goodness, John, that's, that is taking me back a few years to a remarkable spell. I mean, I'll summarize it because the story is so complicated. I mean, if you're ever interested in kind of a tale of what was an overseas investment in a Premier League football club and where things can go wrong and, quite frankly, how incredible the story can become, then the story of Portsmouth Football Club around that time, 2010, is one that you would enjoy and endure in many ways, because it's not necessarily a great story, but it served as a kind of litmus test moment for the Premier League in how ownership is controlled and how the game is managed in the UK, and still really is one of those original precedents for how they must never do it again. And that's actually held since the days of Portsmouth. But yes, I did a documentary about that time, the amount of owners they went through. Owners we're not even sure to this day really particularly exist or knew that they even owned the club at one point. It sent me on a journey from Portsmouth to across the UK, to Jerusalem, to Tel Aviv, and back again. And we produced a 30-minute documentary, which I think all of us who worked on were pretty proud of, as we tried to find the answers as to exactly what happened at that club. I mean, because they'd done everything. They'd done so well. They'd won the FA Cup. They'd spent lots of money. They had some big players like Jermaine Defoe, Sol Campbell, Kanu. You know, just their list of players was sensational. Glenn Johnson, a former England international. And then everything went wrong, and they went all the way down to the bottom of the English pyramid. And now with Michael Eisner, who has been a very good American owner for Portsmouth, they've made their way back up to championship level. And at some point, maybe we'll see Portsmouth back in the Premier League, and I would be delighted to see it.
Full disclosure, when we got the 40-page document, when Eisner was set to purchase, and you know, you have your memorandum of understanding, and hey, here's my plot, and here's my idea. You get this 40-page document, and the boss and I literally were sitting in our kitchen, and I'm poring over this thing with her, and she's like, "What are you looking at?" And I said, "Michael Eisner wants to buy Portsmouth," and you know, and so we go over this thing, and I actually voted no. Because there was no mention of what he was going to do with the youth programs and the academy and how you were going to sustain growth from within with homegrown talent. That was my largest concern at the time, and I voted no. I understood everybody voting yes, but for me, I was like, well, how are you going to build for the future? and all this investment. So, yeah, I voted no initially, even though he has done what he has done, and I'm still a member of the PST.
Yeah, that's right. And lots of people I know did vote no. I can actually remember I was at the meeting. The media were allowed into a chunk of the meeting, as I recall, outside Portsmouth Guildhall. And Michael Eisner came on the stage and did this presentation, and he told a story just about, you know, building a company and building success and everything. And at the end of it, I'm pretty sure he plastered Walt Disney on the under the screen, and because of course his connections were all with the, you know, the Disney company, and I think we then asked to leave for the section of the meeting that involved the Portsmouth Supporters Trust actually then deliberating and voting on whether they wanted to go with it. I mean, Eisner was quite clear; he didn't want to overpromise. And so by not overpromising, he was pretty blunt about what he would put in and what he wouldn't do. And I think his ownership has shown that, because this has not been some blank check to the Premier League. You know, this has taken a long time, and, you know, they would probably admit, and I'm not close to it particularly at the moment, but they would probably admit they got a fair bit wrong on the way to getting a fair bit right. And they've still got some major issues to overcome there. You know, if they're to become a Premier League club again for a start, they'll have to have a new stadium or a remodeled stadium. I think they're going with the latter option, because it's so controversial to talk about the thought of leaving Portsmouth Fratton Park ground. So, you know, they're a club that are often hampered in many ways by ghosts of the past as we talk on this Halloween. But, you know, we do hope, you know, that you know, they're on the kind of the upswing. I mean, they're not having a great time at the moment in the Championship, it must be said. But it's just a bit of a football miracle, to be honest, that they're there. But never forget the role of some of the guys at the Portsmouth Supporters Trust, the Ian McInnes's of this world, to name just one, you know, who kind of just, you know, put everything on the line to save the club, and they did it, and it was a remarkable time.
Apple TV's Tony Husband not talking about the MLS Cup playoffs yet in this segment, because I decided to go full right turn on us. I know you're Scott. you know, so I guess we should actually get into the MLS Cup playoffs. You and Ross. Ross joined us last week, and Ross was from his new studio space.
Yep.
We got to hang out there. You guys got to go to Vancouver to find out what's going on with Vancouver and FC Dallas. What were your takeaways in a dominant performance from Vancouver? It seems like ever since Thomas Müller has parachuted in, they have just been that added little bit for the Whitecaps here in the West.
Yeah, that's right. I think Vancouver have been great. I will say I thought Vancouver looked very good from the beginning of the season. I said they were one of the best teams to watch in MLS as early as March, when they started to look so good in those early rounds of CONCACAF. And then Müller has just added that extra bit of spice, not just what he's producing on the field, which is a lot, by the way, with his goals and assist tally now. I think he's now scored about 5 penalties as well. You know, so I think he's up to something like 8-9 goals for them as well now. Almost in as many games playing as a Whitecap. And, you know, it's just not about that, though. It's about what he's done to the market. It's incredible. He has infused everything. He's galvanized everything around Vancouver. Right now in Vancouver, you know, they are at the moment a soccer town that is also obviously engrossed in the antics of the Blue Jays, which somebody had to explain to me that the Blue Jays are still supported in Vancouver, even though I was a bit bemused by how geographically people in Vancouver support the Toronto Blue Jays, but they do, so they tell me. Huh. So you know, I have them down to win it. I will stick with MLS Cup winners being Vancouver. I think they're the best team in the league at the moment, and I think they've got everything in going their way. They're going to be one of the best stories of 2025 if they do win it. As you said, the display over Dallas was dominant. I think they should wrap it up in Dallas tomorrow night in game two. You know, Dallas did well to make the playoffs, and yeah, I think they looked a little bit like a team who thought they'd done well to make the playoffs. And that is a team that probably knows it's not going to go much further. But you never know, because this is the round now, the second game in the first round. This is where the chaos can begin. So, you know, you never know.
And we are believers and lovers and founders of the chaos. We are chaoticians here, according to Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park. You think what? So then let me ask this. You mentioned Vancouver. They're your favorite. I had LAFC and Vancouver in my final, but I had LAFC going through. What in your mind sets Vancouver over LAFC?
I think across the field, they're stronger. There's obviously no doubting that what LAFC have got up top in Son and Boanga, who've obviously come together to forge a tremendous partnership. But I think that Vancouver can do more and hurt you more in more different ways. They can beat you direct. They can beat you by passing it through you. They're better on the flanks. They've got better bend through the center, potentially in attacking positions when other players can join the attack. I just like them more. I watched LAFC the other night, and again, it was a game one, and they did the job. They had to win. I wasn't overly impressed with their win over Austin, though, to be honest. And I do feel that, you know, they're reliant on what is their great strength. You know, they can sit in a block. They're playing five across the back effectively at the moment, and they've got two tremendous players, of course, who in transition can hurt any team, and that could get LA a long way, and it could get them past Vancouver. But if you ask me, if you look at the 1-11 of both teams and line them up right now, I would take Vancouver over LA, but it would be a close game.
What about the rest of the West? Are you anticipating, since we're here, are you anticipating fairly chalky behavior in the West as we go forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think I see Seattle beating Minnesota in game two. I thought that was a pretty close. There wasn't much in that game.
Have you ever seen more posts and crossbars hit in a PK situation?
Well, that's a good question. Not too often. I've seen probably not as many times we've seen woodwork, but certainly missed. We've seen a few missed penalties. I'm doing the Charlotte New York game tomorrow, and my word, Charlotte, you know, was struggling to hit penalties last season. You know, I think that was a pretty close game. It was a pretty ugly game at times, that first Minnesota-Seattle game. I can see Seattle comfortably getting back into that series and winning in game two and then setting up a really good game three. Portland-San Diego is interesting. Portland looked dead and buried on the final day of the regular season. They kind of fell into the wild card game, and then out of nothing, they produced a pretty good display to beat RSL. I didn't see the whole of the game down in San Diego, so I'm going off highlights, but you know, obviously looked a closer game than the one on decision day, but San Diego go to Providence Park, you know, having won there convincingly recently. So that, and they will be confident, I think, of doing so again. So that'll be interesting to see how that one pans out as well. And LA, I think when they come up against Austin again, I think they have the advantage. I don't rule out that going to a game three and LA having to get it done at BMO, but I think they will come through that series.
And then now the actual reason that we have you here, now that we are in the second half with our catch-up with Tony Husband, is Charlotte and NYC. No Zaha, and it definitely hurt. That is not me honking my horn, by the way. No Zaha, it hurt. How much did it hurt? I mean, it seemed like Charlotte could not get anything going offensively in this particular matchup, and it came down to a moment from a player from NYC who is really in rhythm right now, and they get the win on the road at the bank, and they're in control for game two.
They are. Now, with Zaha out, I think a lot of people wondered whether this could be the game of the first round, first game series that could spring something of a surprise, where the team with the home advantage maybe could slip up. And that, so it absolutely proved to be the case. I mean, you know, if Zaha had been available, I think most people would have backed Charlotte, one of the best home teams in this league, to continue that run and take game one. But without him, you know, they stunk for about half an hour, really. They didn't do much at all. And NYC took advantage of it. Tactically, they played it really well. Thought Pascal Janssen did a great job with the way he lined his team up. Justin Haack playing in a kind of back four and then evolving into a midfielder, adding an extra player into the middle of the park, outnumbering Charlotte in key areas. That helped. And there was just no spark, really, from Charlotte. And I was a bit surprised because Dean Smith said after the game, you know, he felt that his team didn't really cope terribly well with kind of the pressure of it being, you know, a home playoff game. And I mean, there's veteran experience right across that team. So I don't quite know how they could not cope with that. But clearly missing Zaha was a big issue. Abada, who came in, unfortunately looked woefully out of touch and out of form, like a player, I guess, who hasn't had that many minutes recently would be. So, you know, they'll bring Zaha back. Whether they'll change much more, I'm not sure that they will. But, you know, you can't rule them out. And the key difference perhaps for this game is Wilfried Zaha fouled 125 times in the Major League Soccer season. And on a tight, confined field at Yankee Stadium, I just wonder whether one of those inevitable fouls he's going to get in and around the 18-yard box is going to lead to a set piece. And a set piece kind of moment could be the kind of thing that can get Charlotte back into this series.
I'll go ahead and I'll say air. I'll put air quotes up and go 18-yard box in air quotes. I'll go ahead. I'll go ahead and do it that way. I remember Peter Vermes measured it once, and he came up with the actual measurements. I can't remember what they are off the top of my head, but it was not what we traditionally have.
It's tight. Let's put it that way. Then.
Yes, it is tight. And you know, when you look at Charlotte in this particular instance, how much of an absence is Pep Biel not being around?
Well, he's turned out to be massive. I mean, this is a player who I think, you know, last year had a role, but was not, I don't think that he was quite as important as he's been this year. He was producing, let's not forget, if we go back to kind of, you know, March, April time, people were talking about Biel's form and contribution as being at an MVP level in this league. He's been hampered twice now by injury this season. They definitely lose something when he's not there. He's got a beautiful touch, a beautiful way of threading midfield into attack. His goals and assist ratio was very good when he was fully fit. And it also meant that everybody looked at Charlotte and wasn't just saying, well, it's just Zaha. Now I feel like we are a little bit falling into the trap of looking at Charlotte and basically pinning everything on Zaha to be the difference maker. And I mean, he's had a good year, Wilfred, in amongst some, you know, continual questions that he seems to have to answer about whether he looks grumpy and his attitude. And, you know, there was the red card on the final day of the season, which, you know, was an absolute, what a blow for them, for him to get that red card on that final day of the season to then miss the first game. I mean, that could ultimately play a significant role in where their season's destiny ends. But, you know, you don't want to pin too much on one player. But so the absence of Biel for me has been pretty big for them.
I found it. Peter, when he measured the turf up at Yankee Stadium, he said it was 68 by 106. So that was what Peter Vermes said when he actually walked it off that one time. So the Peter Vermes legend had it at 68 by 106.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, we'll have to check Peter's pacings because I'm sure they say it's got up to 70, don't they?
Yes, 70. Well, I mean, it's north of 65, so you round up and go 70. So it's like
Yes. You're
past halfway, you round up. When you are calling a match basically, as I phrased it one time, I said it's like fighter jets and a washer dryer. When you're calling a match that is almost like pinball, how much of a challenge is it to convey the message of what's going on, not get lost in all of the back and forth and the pinballs and the volleys and everything? How challenging is it in a space like Yankee Stadium to call a match at Yankee Stadium?
I think when any game, whether it's in Yankee Stadium or elsewhere, when a lot happens and as you say, a lot is pinballing back and forth, I think in my role as a commentator, I would always say, you know, look, you're a television commentator, so people can see this. So you don't need to say every single person who's touching the ball, particularly if possession is constantly going back and forth and it's scrappy or whatever. Sometimes less is more. And, you know, the viewer can watch this. If you're doing it for the radio, it's probably more of a challenge. You're going to be churning out those minutes or words per minute, you know, at a heck of a rate. But no, I think that would be always the attitude I would take towards it. You know, you're there to comment and provide the extra words to you know, add to what people are seeing. If it's all just crazy stuff, it's like whenever there's a melee in a game, I just tend to actually do what the referees do. I step to one side, let's just let it unravel. It'll soon calm down and then we can talk about it. And, you know, I think John Freeman did much the same at Bank of America Stadium when it happened there. He was almost kind of smiling at the end when he was just waiting for everything to calm down. So I think that's the kind of view. But I would take that in any commentary, whether it be at Yankee Stadium or elsewhere.
All right, so quickly before you get out of here, let's take a peek at the other matchups in the East. Chicago and Philly, no Orihel for Chicago. We talked about that in hour number one. We had Max Anderson, their radio play-by-play guy, on yesterday. Nashville and Messi and friends. That's going to go to Giotis, and then hell is real. What about those other three?
I think Columbus can take it to game three against Cincinnati. I think that's got the makings of an epic series. I think Columbus have got better recently, but they're clearly, you just think what this team could be if either Abu Ali perhaps had been fit, but you just think if Cucho was still there, what Columbus would look like right now if they had that clinical cutting edge. Because for me, that's really obviously what they're missing. They've got so many of the same parts that have done so well for them, but they just don't look as likely to score goals. That will be a problem, but I think they've got enough to get to a game three. And then Nashville, Miami. Well, Miami have won six straight now against Nashville. So have Nashville got something left in the tank and something left to try and turn it around and take it to a game three? I think it's going to be very tough for them. I think there's something now about Messi and this Miami group that is just a little bit more fixed than perhaps even they were last year on making sure that there's no mistakes in the playoffs this year. They're not going to repeat the Atlanta experience. I would favor Miami to get through, although it's not out of the question that Nashville can beat them at home. Mm-hmm. Philly-Chicago, again, I think it has the makings of a game that could go to a game three. But Greg Berhalter, you know, has got some selection challenges as well. So I think, you know, it's a really interesting weekend of games because there's an argument for saying several of these matches can be wrapped up in two. But there's also, you can easily look at how important home field advantage is in this league. And I felt it would be, particularly in the East in these playoffs. And there's plenty of scope that we go into a completely wild match three weekend next weekend. And I think that's highly likely with a few of them.
And it is, it's you and Ross, right?
It will be me and Ross, indeed.
All right. So if my math is correct, 342 kick. It's the 68 by 106. Is that accurate, sir?
That is absolutely spot on. 342, the first of, I think it's four games we have tomorrow. So, you know, it's a great day to stick on your television and you can just roll from one piece of drama into the next.
And the multi-screen experience at 9:30 with Portland, San Diego, and Dallas and Vancouver.
That's right.
As always, my friend, it's great to talk to you. Great to see you. Can't wait to hear the call with you and Ross on the weekend for NYC and Charlotte. You know that you know where the key is under the mat. You know where the garage door opener is. You know you can crash at any time.
Thank you very much, John. And to return to the very beginning of our conversation, the apt way to finish it, I think, will have to be to say, play up Pompey.
Atta boy. That's the man right there. We will keep an eye on that as well. The AGM, my all hands on deck meeting is coming up in 18 days. Be safe, my friend. Safe travels. We'll catch up with you soon.
Take care.
All right. Tony Husband from Apple TV. That's always fun. And literally when it's like, when you sit there and it's like, okay, so what can I talk to Tony about outside of everything else? And then when I saw that he had done the documentary on Portsmouth and the sale, I'm like, ooh.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
One interview down, one more coming at you quickly. And for this one, once again, it's one of the more interesting series because of subtext in the Eastern Conference in round number one. And it's a chance to see what Greg Berhalter has been up to getting a team into the postseason, what Bradley Carnell has been like in his new employ. And as these two teams collide, took longer than 90 minutes to get a result in match day one. So we find out what happened in match day one from Max's perspective as he gets ready for match day two. Now, I'm an idiot. I'm a true moron because I thought I sent a link to Max Anderson, and I didn't. So I officially stink as an individual. So let me bring Max in, audio only, and if we have video to pop up, then we'll go. Yeah, Max, I suck.
John, you're all good, my man.
I thought I hit Control V and I didn't. And I was like, well, and you email me. It's like, I haven't seen a link. And I swear to God, I sent the link, but no, it was a Control V.
All good. I'm sitting here itching to get some takes off and some thoughts about the first round. And I thought you were cutting me off, John.
No, I suck. I just hit Control V. Max,
all
Anderson,
good, my man.
Play by play. Do, yes. Hit it. So what's up? You got a what? You got a bail by when?
No. I've got about 20 minutes now, but I had to get on the move. So that's why I'm not going to be on video.
No worries. It's all good. All right. So my first question for you, sir, is this. What was Orihel thinking running all the way from Des Moines into the frame to knock down Kai Wagner?
You know, I think that moment is an interesting one because for Fire fans, the season really started with some really poor judgment from Brian Gutierrez early in the year, right? He had a couple of red cards early on. This was supposed to be this huge breakout season for Brian Gutierrez, and he had a couple of red cards, so he had a suspension, he had a little injury, he did a little bit of men's national team and never got in a rhythm. And then we've seen him grow up over the last couple of months, I think, right? Even to the point where he's accepted a role, you know, off the bench for the most part, started obviously last game, or two games ago, I should say. Sergio Orihel hasn't really had that immature moment yet. We haven't seen that from him. And I think as immature as it was in the moment, the intensity, the comeback had happened. Kai Wagner, certainly not innocent in the situation either. It was a bad foul by Brian Gutierrez that deserved a yellow card. Just one big, tough moment for a young player, and I think he'll learn from it. But I do think that in that moment, you know, Did he come from right field for a shove? Absolutely. Did he do it unprovoked? Yeah, for the most part. Did Kai Wagner only deserve a yellow card? I didn't think so either.
Yeah, that was another element of it.
So I obviously am not here to defend Kai Wagner, or defend Sergio Orihel and the decision he made to take a run at Kai Wagner. But, you know, throughout that game, there were some really questionable, bookings, non-bookings, calls across the board. And I think that was the frustration is, I think everyone was okay with the Sergio Orjel red card there. But I think the mischaracterization of justice didn't happen. And I thought Kai Wagner should have had more than a yellow card there too.
And that's what Philly's good at. They're good at sticking their chin out and sitting there and taking their index
finger,
pointing at it and going, okay, take your shot, getting under your skin, and then you finally take a shot and you're the one that gets busted.
No doubt about it.
Other takeaways that you had from match day one when it comes to Fire and Union, sir?
Yeah, I mean, pretty a surreal moment right before the game. We're getting ready to get started. I think we actually come back from our last break, getting ready to get action started, and our producer gets in our ear and said, you know, the Fire just tweeted Philip Zinkerdagel's out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, you know, my partner's mid-thought. and we both lock eyes. Like, uh-oh, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And so that first just completely, I think, I don't want to say completely derailed the plan, because it was clear the plan was going to be, let's try to force Philly to do their weakness rather than play to our strength.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was definitely decided once Zinkerdagel was out. If you had Zinkerdagel, you had the ability to maybe push them a little bit, higher. You had an ability to challenge them, I think, a little bit more. But once that happened, and I don't know if maybe the plan was already set and Martin Haile Selassie just went with the plan, but then it became clear that they were going to try to, you know, frustrate Philly at their own game, which they did brilliantly for a half and another few minutes. But as we well know, eventually it seems like Philly finds a way to get what they want, and that's what happened in the 60-some-odd minute.
Do you have a Zinkerdagel update, or is that pretty much he went into the tent, they closed the door to the tent?
Yeah.
Good luck getting intel.
I don't. It's day-to-day from what we understand. My gut tells me he's going to be able to play. I don't know if that means start. He didn't seem in terrible discomfort. I know he did a little bit of training this week. We still don't totally understand what happened. It was obviously something right during pre-match. And, you know, everyone saw the footage of, you know, him gingerly walking off, holding his midsection. I'm optimistic. 50-50 is my best guess at this point.
Okay. Max Anderson, play-by-play voice for Chicago Fire on WLS and any other places that you can grab on to Max during the season. We go over match day one with Philly and Chicago. Get you ready for match day number two on the weekend, 5:30, so that translates into 5:42 Eastern time on Saturday afternoon on MLS Season Pass, Apple TV, and the local option with Max. And the funny, I won't say it was funny, but it was just, you mentioned the staring contest that you had in match day one with Philadelphia. Literally, it's back and forth, and nothing happens until the first two goals that Philly scores within 5 minutes in the 70th and the 75th with Vasilev and Olasky. But I think also it speaks a lot to what Chicago did to come back with Jonathan Bamba scoring in the 84th. And then Jack Elliott, why are you leaving Jack Elliott wide open 22 yards out? So he's got a chance to wind and go. I think it speaks a lot to the mentality and mindset that is there this year under Greg Berhalter, where, yeah, you're down 2-0, but you still got time on the clock. Instead of sitting there going, oh, we got time on the clock. We got time on the clock.
I'd be lying to you if I thought they were going to score two goals in the last 10 minutes. But what I do know is we've seen this team in the entire year never give up. And I know that can be cliche, but we've seen it game in, game out. Yep. I mean, this team set a franchise record for road wins. You don't do that if you're mentally weak as a team and if you're not well prepared, you know, from your coaching staff. And I think that's been, you know, as much troubles as the Fire have had over the last couple of seasons, the preparation, the plan, even if it wasn't always executed perfectly, you saw that they had a plan. They had a style. They had an identity. I don't think myself, my partner, Deson Robinson, truthfully thought they could come back from 2-0, you know, in the last 10 minutes. But especially once they got that first, you had a feeling, because there was, I think, some of the substitution decisions from Philly were maybe a tad over their skis. Westfield coming in, I was a little bit surprised to see that. I thought that might have been a bit of a liability up that right side, and it turned out, you know, maybe it was. So there's definitely some openings, and I don't know that Philly handled it as well as they would have liked to, looking back on it. But it certainly wasn't shocking in terms of this team's ability all season long to stay the course in tough environments, find wins. They weren't able to find this win, but I think as far as a penalty kick shootout loss can go, there's not much more momentum you can get from it than what they got.
All right. What are you the most confident about going into match day two, and what concerns you the most going into match day two?
Ooh, I think I'll start on the concern side, and that's obviously Orihel not being able to play. If Zinkernagel isn't able to go, that's two pieces that have been, you know, obviously Zinkernagel goes without saying, but even Sergio Orihel doesn't show up on the stat sheet. If your viewers are looking up Sergio Orihel's stat line, it's not going to be pretty, but the box-to-box game he's played this season, whether it be in reserve or on the starting role, has been really critical. So, you know, obviously injuries, you know, what's that going to look like with Zinkernagel? That is what I'm most focused on and most worried about as we head into this game. Having the full week off will be, you know, a huge benefit for the Fire, at least 6 days, rather than the 3-day turnaround they had for the game against Philly.
Right.
What am I most looking forward to, yeah, or most confident in?
Yeah.
This team's ability to show up.
Yeah.
You know, I think they find a way to win at home. SeatGeek Stadium against the game against Orlando in the wild card was jumping. I mean, it was as good an environment for Chicago Fire soccer game as I've been in a long, long time.
Yep.
So I think that'll be even more. They didn't even sell out against Orlando. I'm pretty confident they're going to find a way to sell out or get pretty darn close to it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be an amazing environment. And I think we're going to head back to Philly for game three.
I was going to ask as my follow-up, since you're reading my notes, about Bridge. And it just seems like it's a different vibe than being at the Spaceship downtown, where it's more intimate. They're on top of you. The Section 8ers are yelling and screaming and ranting and raving. It seems like it's just a different environment, and to Chicago's benefit in that case.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I mean, you nailed it. The way that the supporters are right on top of you, it can be a little disconcerting. It could be, a little bit loud. I mean, it, compared to Soldier Field, which can be a little bit cavernous, right? Even on average, they're getting 20 to 22,000 fans, but that's a 62,000 seat stadium. I mean, there's just no way to sound, you know, as electric as you do with Bridgeview, and the way that stadium caverns a little bit more and closes up a little bit more. They've got the big video board on one side that kind of keeps some noise in. So it's been, you know, controversial among the fan base, the Bridgeview Stadium. You know, it's kind of out of the way. It's Bridgeview is to Chicago as Chester, Pennsylvania kind of is to Philadelphia.
Right.
And, you know, they're building this new stadium the next couple of years. It's tremendously exciting. And hopefully I'm still lucky enough to be calling games when that comes. But yeah, Bridgeview has this unique, you show up and go play soccer feel to it. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of hard to get to for a lot of fans. And you get there and you're kind of trapped in the 90 minutes of noise and, you know, the playing surface. We'll see. It's been hit or miss at times, mm-hmm, especially at this time of the year. So there's going to be some interesting variables come Saturday night.
Okay. So my first question is, what are you up to on Tuesday morning?
I think I'm coming on your show, aren't I?
Yes, you are. We'll figure out the time slot. Tuesday's pretty much wide open. So if you want to bet lead off Tuesday morning, you can.
Sure.
9:30 Eastern, whatever. We'll figure it out.
Sure. Right.
For folks that want to listen to you on the local option, how do they do it?
WLS. I believe if you're out of market, you can stream it on WLS890.com. Mm-hmm. I can't remember, because this is a late scheduled broadcast, whether it's going to be on live FM or if it's just on the stream. Mm-hmm. But certainly you'll find Max and Desan on the call for the Fire. And hopefully we're heading back to Chester, Pennsylvania for game three. I think that would be good for the sport, for the city, for the fan base. And regardless what would happen there, I think tremendously successful season. And the Fire kind of think are playing with house money at this point.
You got it. All right. We will see you Tuesday morning, and we will catch up with you Tuesday morning. Have a hell of a call. We'll catch up with you, and we'll be listening and watching, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Sean. Good to talk to you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Next up on the board, Chris Doran, the longtime play-by-play voice of Columbus Crew, friend of the network, friend of SDHAM. And with Chris, we get to catch up with him about Hell is Real, the matchup in the 2-7 involving FC Cincinnati and Columbus Crew. And we started off with a bit of a philosophical approach toward Hell is Real before getting into Match Day 1 and Match Day 2 and what he anticipates from the series as it moves to Lower.com Field on your Saturday. Here's our conversation with Chris Doran. And so we welcome in Chris Doran because he's kind of busy, and so we are live on tape as Gary Owen. Who is the laugh-in announcer? Oh goodness,
I don't know the announcer.
I'm brain locked. I think it was Gary Owens. Gary Owens is live on tape. You know, so that's where we are. First off, thank you for doing this, especially as you're heading into practice this morning, because you have a game two to prepare for Hell is Real, the postseason edition. I wanted to start this time around with you with a question about Hell is Real specifically and the rivalry between Cincinnati and Columbus in an Ohio sense. Is it something that is 24/7, 365, where you walk down the street and you sit there and you go, Mitch says no, and that sets people off? Or is it something where it only is a rivalry when you play, or is that 365-day residual there as a part of this?
John, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. Secondly, it's a really great question, because when you speak to a native Ohioan, there is generally an under tone of, I'm not going to, I mean, it's certainly not hatred. It's not jealousy. It may be born out of jealousy, but it's certainly a disdain that exists between the two cities. And so if it's the middle of February and folks are all huddled up and, you know, Columbus gets 7 inches of snow and Cincinnati gets light rain, the people in Columbus are probably upset because they're getting the short end of the stick, albeit longer measurement of snow to have to deal with on the commute. But other than that, the height of the competitive level between these two cities and these two teams, believe it or not, is only realized in the Cincinnati Columbus Hell is Real soccer derby, because the colleges don't play one another other than maybe some Olympic sports where Xavier may play Ohio State, but you never see UC Cincinnati playing Ohio State football. Ohio State doesn't have time for UC Cincinnati and would just as soon tell you that UC Cincinnati can't hang with them anyway. So there is that. But when we get around Hell is Real, which is twice during the regular season, as you know, and uniquely now in the postseason, there's a lot of spirit between the two teams, between the supporters groups and between the cities in general.
Game one, Cincinnati gets the 1-0 win. Kevin Denke scores with about 12 to go. Now that you've had a couple days to kind of digest what we, those of us outside the state of Ohio, were thinking Hell is Real was going to be. It was going to be a 15-round heavyweight fight, and I just dated myself with that reference. You know, we figured it was going to be just taking swings at each other, and it was going to be low scoring, and goalless draw would not have been a surprise. Now that you've had a couple days to digest match day one, what has stuck in your head?
Well, you're a play-by-play guy, so you can appreciate this. I got about midway through the first half, and I felt fresh as a play-by-play announcer. And what I mean by that is that the game unfolded at such a delightful pace tactically that you were able to, as an announcer, identify every touch and follow the 20-yard pass and then follow and describe the chance that was just unfolding in front of you and still feel like you had a breath. So what I really appreciated about Monday night was that the game tactically was so sound from both teams. And we were reminded by the 1-0 scoreline that the margins in the postseason oftentimes are very, very thin. And it was Kevin Danke who was able to get at the end of a loose ball inside the six, and he was by himself. And 1v1 with Kevin Danke, you're not going to win a lot of those. And, you know, Patrick Schulte did what he could, but he was not going to be able to smother that chance. So what I really appreciated about the game was the tactical soundness from both. What I think it does for game two is it challenges both coaches and particularly both squads to find that extra something that the opponent's not expecting, which makes Sunday's matchup at lower.com feel that much more intriguing, because we will have some personnel adjustments on both sides of the ball as players are coming out of injury phases and available for selection. And beyond that, we're in a different environment. Now, Cincinnati has got a little bit of heat on their shoulders, and Columbus has got some pressure too. They always knew that they had to win game two. Now it's a do or die situation Sunday night.
You mentioned the lineup adjustments, the starting 11 for Crew last time out, Schulte in net, and we'll phrase it like as a back three, and we'll work our way forward, 3-4-2-1. Amundsen, Zawadzki, Marrera, then the four in front of them, Max Arston, Darlington Nagby, Chambois, Herrera, Lapalainen, Diego Rossi, and Picard up top. When you, I'm looking at Lasse Lapalainen as one, I'm looking at Picard as one. When it comes to possibly coming off the bench instead of starting, what intel, if any, do you have? What are you staring at possibly for changes?
Well, I think you identified, you know, probably where a change could take place. Lasse Lapalainen has started the last three games, and in the previous two, which were the last two regular season matches, he and Andres Herrera connected to score goals in the early going of both of those matches. You kind of have to go with that hot hand to start in game one of this best of three series. What that means, though, is that Daniel Gosdag, a designated player who's Philadelphia's leading goal scorer of all time, is on the bench. And, you know, I kind of feel like if you're paying a guy $2.1 million a year or whatever the number is, that he probably should be starting on the field. Now, Wilfried Nancy obviously, you know, saw another solution for these last two games. And for this third one on Monday, unfortunately, we couldn't get that third goal from Herrera in three games. I like Lapalainen. I don't know that he's a starter. When we get to game two on Sunday, if he is, it's not going to surprise me. If he's not, that could be the wrinkle that I'm talking about, where I think Wilfried Nancy has got to pull out something that maybe Pat Noonan's not expecting in this second game. And there are ample ways to fill that spot. Gazdag is one of them, especially given what you've seen from Cincinnati on Monday night and knowing what their limitations may be in terms of personnel. Perhaps Gazdag in a different way makes more sense. The other option I think you have is Ibrahim Aliyu. Now, he's not exactly the ball control guy that Andres Herrera is, but Aliyu is both a front runner as well as a winger. And if he were to step in on the flank, he would cause a lot of problems in terms of keeping Cincinnati in check and away from buildup into the attack on the wings to more of a defensive posture on the wings.
Are there any secrets this time of year? And I mean, it could be, you know, it could be philosophy, could be lineup, could be positioning, could be, watering the grass. Are there any secrets, or did pretty much everybody know what could be any kind of an alternate when it comes to an approach for a match day two where it is a do or die?
That's a really great question, John. I know you followed teams for years. You know what coaches go through in terms of forming an identity with their team. These MLS coaches have got 34 games, make it 39 weeks in a season. You add preseason to that, they're trying to form an identity with the squad. By golly, I mean, there shouldn't be any secrets in terms of who you are by the time you get to this time of the year. There's always talk in the league about how when you get to this moment where these are really big moments, I mean, you know, one after another within a 90-minute framework, that your best players are the ones that really need to shine. That's why I'm leaning more towards a Gazdag start on Sunday. He is one of the best players on the roster. Diego Rossi should be 100% by Sunday. And I think, you know, Darlington Nagbe is going to do Darlington Nagbe. And I think you've got a great core there. Patrick Schulte played really, really well. So you're really leaning on that group of players who not only got you to where you are today, but were a part of the series that got them to the 2023 MLS Cup a couple of years ago. You know, we had 12 players on the roster in that Eastern Conference final against Cincinnati in December of 2023, who are still on the roster today. Six of them were starters. Now, that's half the story, or I should say twice as much the story as it is for Cincinnati. This is pretty much a retooled Cincinnati squad since we met them 2 years ago in the postseason. But this is really a talented group from Cincinnati. So it's going to take some special performances. It'll take a little bit of extra from everybody to get over the hump, whether it's Cincinnati beating Columbus or it's the Crew forcing a game three. And we should see it from the special players that are on the roster. For Wilfried Nancy, he says every player is special. So you never know where the moment's going to come from. But it's got to lead to a goal or two in order to get to game three.
Chris Doran here hanging out with us for the intel for a post-game one, pre-game two. They're the early game on Sunday, listed at 6:30, which I believe translates into 6:42 in the postseason, Eastern time.
Nicely done.
Me and math and the morning, brother, that is two things that do not mix at all. MLS Season Pass and Apple TV, and we will catch up with Chris at the end and find out, for those that want to listen to Chris on the local option side, how to do that. Since you mentioned Darlington Nagbe, let me go down this road a second. When it comes to Darlington, is he still, and I will throw a couple of adjectives out here, and I don't know which one fits, and maybe you can help. Is he underreported, underappreciated? Is it the three bears and the three beds where it's just right? I mean, I've always thought that Darlington has just always been underreported, if not underappreciated, because he's not about sitting there and standing on the pulpit and sitting there going, hey, look at me, I'm an incredible player. maybe his does his quietness relate to the proportion of coverage that he gets and how underappreciated he may be?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think you know a little bit about how Darlington behaves. And mm-hmm. so, you know, putting the spotlight on himself, excuse me, is just not something that he does.
Yeah.
I would also say that it has to do with the role that he plays on the team. That six role in the midfield, killing plays, changing direction, moving the ball to from side to side. That's not a high profile position on any team. And Darlington does a really great job of fulfilling those responsibilities and allowing the other guys to step into the limelight. I think that it has fit his personality that he has become less of a 10 over time from his years in Portland, less of an 8 that he was in Atlanta, and now more of a 6 as he is in Columbus, because he's realized that, hey, I'm 35 years old. There are younger guys who can do this, but I still have a place, and he's been able to fulfill it. Now, that's just Darlington, the player. When you talk about Darlington, the human being, there isn't a person I spoke with when I recapped his career a couple of weeks ago who had any ounce of negative feedback on who he is as a person. It's the kind of thing that you want people to say about you while you're alive, not after you've passed. He's 35 with a beautiful family, a big, bright future ahead of him, God willing. And he has fulfilled this chapter in his life, and he recognizes that. There's an option for the club to pick him up next year on his contract. So it's not like he's being pushed out the door. He decided mid-July that it was time for him to wrap it up. And wanted to spend more time at home with his family. What he chooses to do beyond that is completely up to him. We can be selfish as soccer people and say, certainly hope that it's a part of the soccer world because he has so much to offer, but it could be something else. Who knows? It doesn't surprise me that he doesn't get the headlines. I can tell you this as a Crew fan over the last several years and the 6 years, of course, that he's been in Columbus, in games when he has not been there, I have said, we can't do this without Darlington in the middle. And when he's there, I may not mention his name until he gets fouled, you know? So I feel bad about that, but on the same side of things, that's just the way he plays the game and it's how he fulfills his responsibilities. He's a terrific guy. He really is. The Crew's been lucky to have him.
It almost sounds like Darlington would be the soccer equivalent of an offensive lineman when it comes to tackle football. Of course, we could say tackle football would apply to soccer too, where you only mention him when something either good happens, hey, look at that kick out block to get this big gain and a first down, or when something bad happens, hey, there's a penalty and a false start. It almost seems like it's that same kind of mentality when we're discussing someone like Darlington Nagbe.
Yeah, it kind of does. And, you know, one of the things in talking with Caleb Porter, who was his coach in Akron and then in Portland, they won the 2015 MLS Cup together. And then here in Columbus when they won in 2020, one of the things that that Coach Porter said about Darlington that still rings true from his days in Akron is that he knows how to bring the best out of people around him, and he has an expectation from the people around him. And in that expectation is born a relationship between Darlington, the 35-year-old captain, and say Taha Habrun, who's a 19-year-old on the first team, or Tristan Brown, a 17-year-old on the first team. He forms that relationship, so there's trust to begin with. And then when he asks more of you, you're more than willing to give more in the process. Sean Zawadzki, who is a center back now but played alongside him in the midfield, goes on and on about, you know, the kind of influence that that Darlington has had on his career. Aiden Morris, who you know now plays for Middlesbrough, left last year, as a matter of fact, to play in the championship, played alongside Darlington, in fact, got the chance to start in MLS Cup 2020 because Darlington tested positive for COVID that morning. Yeah. And so Aiden starts, you know, and he's not alongside his buddy. But that began a relationship after Aiden was able to report back with the trophy in 2021. The two of them came out of the box and they were just, like buddy-buddy. I mean, I wouldn't even say father-son. Although there was a significant age difference, it was like they were long-lost friends, and they played together for a couple of years together and were able to win that 2023 MLS Cup, finally, both on the field at the same time. Yeah, Darlington's a guy that the sport's going to miss, not just the club. And I'm so happy that Atlanta got a chance to have him for a few trophies. I'm glad Portland was able to come out of the early years of MLS existence and enjoy a cup with him as well. I think he's going to call Ohio his home. They're very comfortable here, so we should be blessed to have him around for a long time.
I just had this vision of Tango and Cash starring Aiden Morris and Darlington Nagbe now.
That's perfect.
What concerns you the most about match day two from a crew perspective, and what are you the most confident about heading into match day two for Hell is Real, the postseason version?
Well, I think both teams have answered my question about managing the emotion of the Hell is Real Derby in the postseason. There was a tremendous amount of buildup into that Eastern Conference final in 2023. And I was afraid the doors were going to get blown open with, you know, early fouls and, you know, just a lot of blustery play. But we didn't see that on Monday night. I don't think we're going to see it on Sunday night. So no concern about handling the emotion of the rivalry within the confines of a playoff format. From Cincinnati's standpoint, they're deep and they're going to be a little bit more fresh, I think, in terms of personnel. There may be some guys who are available for selection on Sunday who were not available to Pat Noonan on Monday night. And that dynamic of inserting someone different, especially like a Luca Orjano, for example, I feel like it could be a little bit of a surprise. It'll take us some time to handle and adjust to that. And will that time to adjust become just another part of what eats away at the 90-minute clock and leaves Columbus only with a few chances? For Columbus, they've got to come out and they have nothing to lose. They have to come out and they have to fight. And I think they have to become a little bit more of a stinker in the series. And what I mean by that is we saw, and you saw it with Atlanta United a few years ago, you've got to be difficult to play against. You have to manage the game. You have to, you got to make some contact. Keep it clean. Don't hurt anybody. That's not what we're asking, but you have to be, as coach says, disgusting to play against. And so you have to, I think, go back to what it took to beat Tigres down in Mexico, what it took to battle Pachuca in the final, what it took to beat Monterrey in Monterrey from a year ago, and use some of that CONCACAF-like soccer approach to get past Cincinnati without losing your playing identity on Sunday night to force that game three.
Disgusting to play against. I've got to file that one away. That is awesome.
That's Wilfried Nancy.
I love it. And we are Wilfried Nancy fans when it comes to what he has done for the sport and for Major League Soccer. If you would please, sir, please cut the promo and let everybody know how they can listen to you and the presentation that you will have earlier than 6:42, but game time 6:42 on Sunday. How do they get to listen to you, sir?
Well, John, thanks for the opportunity. And again, love talking to you guys on Soccer Down Under, down here. I beg your pardon. It could be Australian. Who knows?
Yeah, well, hey, we've done Australian stories. It's all good.
We'd love to have you guys join us. We're going to do a pregame show. It starts at 6 on iHeartRadio. And then right around 6:41, Apple Television is going to take our feed and put us on with the picture from lower.com field. You can find that on your volume adjustment remote and switch over to the home radio feed. Then we'll do the post-game show for folks driving home or those of you working late, and look forward to calling a crew win on Sunday night from lower.com field.
As always, my friend, it's great to see you. And I know that you've got to head to practice, so take warm beverages and dress warmly with all of the fleece that is necessary to continue to watch what's going on there with the crew. Great to see you, my friend. Do not be a stranger. We'll catch up soon.
Thank you, brother.
As always, big thanks to Chris, big thanks to Max Anderson, and thanks to Major League Soccer, our friends there, as they have helped us out in catching up with folks from Apple TV Plus all season long. And thanks to Tony Husband for giving some of his very, very
treasured and busy time as he's getting ready for the matchups coming up this weekend in the Bronx at the 68x106, as Peter Vermes calls it. That is the best of SDHAM. Once again, quick reminder, like, friend, be a part of the conversation, either live on the SDH YouTube channel, the 280-character app, or on Twitch, or on tape on your favorite podcatcher as the audio version is released shortly thereafter, and in the individual segments as well. So you can listen to the show on your favorite podcatcher in full, or you can take your favorite guests on a daily basis and listen to those segments themselves. Listen to it all. Just go ahead and click it three times, listen to the full show, and listen to the guests on a daily basis, and you can just listen to the whole thing all the time. 24/7, 365, it's available for you. Our head end is on Spreaker, and you can listen to it at soccerdownhere.net as well. Don't forget, you can do some shopping at soccerdownhere.net. You can also be a part of the conversation there as well, Monday through Friday. And when we post all of our 1v1 programming, as well as our college programming and our Roots programming, powered by our friends at NoFo Brewing, where we discuss any great story that comes across our bow that kind of lets you in on the roots of soccer. But it's another go-round of the best of SDHAM. As we took a peek at what's going on in the Bronx, we took a peek at what's going on in Chicago and what's going on in the third matchup at Lower.com Field in Ohio. Thanks to all of you for hanging out with us for another go-round of the best of SDHAM. I'm John Nelson here at the Soccer Down Here Network and SDHAM. Mucha plata, y'all, play it safe. We'll catch up with you next week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.